From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news read by Rahmawati. First, the headlines. President says ranks should ensure South Kalimantan's refugee needs fully met. Jokowi praises the Investment Coordinating Board's efforts to accelerate investment process. Now, the news in detail. President of the Republic of Indonesia Joko Widodo urged his ranks and the regional government to fulfill the needs of refugees impacted by the flood disaster in South Kalimantan. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Widodo, while conducting an inspection of flood-affected locations in Banjar District, South Kalimantan, on Monday, stated, "Logistics for refugees are important since nearly 20,000 people are accommodated at refugee camps." The head of state pressed for coordination between the central and the regional governments to fulfill the needs of refugees. If there is any shortage of supply in the local government, the central government will help fulfill that requirement. He further explained the existing deficiencies can be addressed through assistance from the central government apart from the existing logistics in the provincial district and city governments. On the occasion, the president also urged Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono to mobilize his ranks to conduct repairs of several bridges in Banjar City that were damaged by the flooding. President Joko Widodo praised the Investment Coordinating Board or BKPM for persistently expediting the investment process even as the COVID-19 pandemic rages on. He commended the BKPM that has been working hard even in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, such as now. It was stated by the head of state in his virtual remarks during the signing of a document on cooperation for partnership between foreign investment and domestic investment and micro, small, and medium-scale enterprises at the Bogor Palace on Monday. As reported by Antara News Agency, the head of state noted that the BKPM had continued to expedite the investment process, right from simplifying the licensing process to facilitating investors as optimally as possible and serving them, so that both domestic and foreign investment recorded rapid growth and opened up jobs and contributed significantly to boosting the promotion of the MSMEs in Indonesia. In connection with the cooperation signing event in the context of foreign and domestic investment partnerships with MSMEs, the head of state highlighted the significance of partnership between MSMEs and large businesses, so that MSMEs can enter the global production chain. The National Search and Rescue Agency, or Basarnas, has again extended by 3 days the search operation for the bodies of passengers and debris of the crashed Sriwijaya Air Flight SJ-1A2. Basarnas Chief Vice Marshal Bagus Puruhito at the Jakarta International Container Terminal Pier 2, Jakarta on Monday stated, after taking into account various things at a meeting with the Transportation Ministry, KNKT or National Committee for Transportation Safety, DVI or Disaster Victim Identification Team, and other relevant parties, his site has decided to extend the SAR operation by another 3 days. As quoted by Antara News Agency, he informed during the extended search operation, Basarnas will evaluate its daily findings to assess the outcome, effectiveness, and obstacles in the field. In addition, it will also reassess developments to decide further steps in the search operation. On January 15, 2021, Basarnas had extended the search operation by 3 days following a week-long search for victims and debris of the Sriwijaya airplane, which had crashed in the waters of Seribu Islands on January 9, 2021. The Investment Coordinating Board, or BKPM, facilitates potential partnerships with a contract value of 1.5 trillion rupiah for 56 large businesses and 196 micro, small, and medium enterprises, or MSMEs. At the signing of the cooperation in the Foreign Investment Partnership and Domestic Investment with MSMEs in Jakarta Monday, BKPM head Bahlil Lahadalia stated this potential is yet in its nascent stages. As reported by Antara News Agency, Lahadalia noted in his report to President Joko Widodo at the virtual event that this is the first step. This 1.5 trillion rupiah is the first step. In future, BKPM will do it every month. The BKPM had admitted that BKPM steps to marry large businesses and MSMEs were replete with challenges. He also sought the understanding of big entrepreneurs to involve MSMEs and regional entrepreneurs. Now we move to international news about 5 Ruby Ships Indonesian crew members that have been released from Mina Prison, Hormozgan Province, Iran, on January 6, 2021. The ship crew members, namely Agung Setiawan, Amir, Adi Wiranata, Jesse Putra Agung Lahopang, and Juni Rinaldi, were detained by Iranian authorities since March 2020 on charges of involvement in oil smuggling by the Ruby ship. In the press release received by VOI RRI on Monday from the Indonesian Embassy in Tehran, it is stated that after a 9-month legal process on December 14, 2020, the judge of the Just Court Hormozgan Province finally freed them of the oil smuggling charges. The Indonesian Embassy in Tehran continuously monitors developments in the case and provides legal assistance in the case handling process of the 5 Indonesian citizens until their release. The 5 Indonesian citizens arrived in Tehran on January 12, 2021 and got accommodation. They also underwent health protocols including 2 COVID-19 swab tests. The embassy stated they are in good and healthy condition before finally returning home to Indonesia on January 18, 2021. Brazil kicked off a nationwide COVID-19 immunization program on Monday by distributing doses of a vaccine from China's Sinovac Biotech following an emergency use authorization. Although the pace of vaccination will depend on delayed imports. As reported by Reuters.com on Monday, after weeks of setbacks, many Brazilians cheered the first wave of inoculations, from bustling clinics in Sao Paulo to a spectacular shot planned at the foot of the first Redeemer statue overlooking Rio de Janeiro. The health ministry gave states the green light to start immunizing at 5 p.m., although some began administering shots before that. The majority of Brazil's 26 states had yet to receive vaccine shipments as of Monday evening, delaying the start of vaccinations for the elderly and frontline health workers. Minutes after Federal Health Agency Anvisa approved the Sinovac vaccine on Sunday, Monica Calazans, a 54-year-old nurse in Sao Paulo, became the first person to be inoculated in the country, as Sao Paulo Governor João Doria looked on. We end the news with head of the World Health Organization, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, has warned that the world is on the brink of catastrophic moral failure because of the unequal distribution of COVID vaccines. As reported by BBC.com on Tuesday, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said it was not fair for younger, healthy people in richer nations to get the jab before vulnerable people in poorer states. He also said over 39 million vaccine doses had been given in 49 richer states. This compared with just 25 doses in one low-income country. So far, China, India, Russia, the UK, and the US have all developed COVID vaccines, with others being made by multinational teams, like the American-German Pfizer vaccine. Almost all of these nations have prioritized distribution to their own population. Well, listener, that was the news.
Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia Ma'ruf Amin inaugurated the National Movement for the Convalescent Plasma Donor in Jakarta on Monday. Convalescent plasma transfusion is one way of treating patients with COVID-19 with severe and critical symptoms. On the occasion, Vice President Ma'ruf expressed his hope that this joint movement is intended to inspire empathy and motivate COVID-19 survivors to be able to voluntarily donate their convalescent plasma to help COVID-19 patients who are currently being treated in some hospitals. Convalescent plasma is blood plasma taken from a former COVID-19 sufferer because it contains SARS-CoV-2 antibodies. Then the plasma is processed so that it can be donated. It is hoped that the antibodies in the blood plasma of recovered patients will help fight the coronavirus in the body of COVID-19 patients. In fact, the donor movement of the convalescent blood plasma
is not new to being implemented in Indonesia. Since April last year, partially, several regions in Indonesia have implemented it. Those who were exposed and recovered have also donated their blood. It's just that the amount is not enough. From the testimony of those who have been running this area, plasma transfusion accelerates the recovery process. Indeed, not all COVID-19 survivors can become convalescent blood donors. Requirements to be able to donate their bloods are people who are at the age 18 until 60 years and they have been infected by COVID-19 with moderate severe symptoms, have been declared recovered, have no symptoms at least 14 days after recovering, male or female, who are preferable, never pregnant. Based on the data of COVID-19.go.id, until January 18, 2021, the number of patients who have recovered is more than 700,000 people. If 5% of that number meets the requirement, of course it can help the recovery process of those with severe and critical symptoms. As a result, this will reduce the number of deaths. In addition, it is likely that the recovery period will be shorter. This will certainly help save a lot, not only the lives of COVID-19 patients, medical personnel, and health workers, but also the Indonesian government. If the patient recovers faster, this will reduce the cost of treatment. Hopefully, there will be many survivors who are willing to donate their blood plasma. The socialization of the national movement for a convalescent plasma donor must also be intensified. The real action of public figures who are COVID-19 survivors of donating blood plasma also needs to be published. Thus, it can encourage other survivors to donate their blood plasma, because 400 milliliters of their blood plasma means a lot to the COVID-19 patients. It is hoped that the survivor of the COVID-19 in Indonesia will also donate their blood plasma. Of course, the point that needs to be considered and implemented is that all Indonesians must obey the set health protocols and make the vaccination program successful so that Indonesia nation wins against COVID-19. That was commentary. Today in history, will begin on January 19, 1946, with the creation of the International Military Tribunal for the Far East Accord. After the Second World War in 1945, the Potsdam Declaration stipulated that all war criminals and people who had committed atrocities against Allied prisoners of war would be punished. In this regard, the International Military Tribunal for the Far East, more commonly known as the Tokyo Court, was formed on January 19, 1946, to try Japanese officials who were deemed to have committed war crimes during World War II in Asia-Pacific. This military court hearing lasted more than 2 years, tried 28 high-ranking Japanese officials, and 7 of them were sentenced to death, including former Japanese Prime Minister Hideki Tojo. Let's move on to January 19, 1966, when Indira Gandhi is inaugurated as the third Prime Minister of India. Indira Gandhi started her political career as a personal assistant to her father, Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru. After Prime Minister Lal Bahadur Shastri died on January 11, 1966, the National Congress Party appointed Indira Gandhi to replace him as Prime Minister and was inaugurated on January 19, 1966. Indira Gandhi was the first and until now the only woman prime minister in Indian history. I'll end on January 19, 1997, the leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization Yasser Arafat returns to Hebron. In order to build the Palestine Liberation Organization or PLO, Yasser Arafat was willing to move from one country to another, including Jordan, Lebanon, and Tunisia. After 30 years of nomadic life in these countries, finally on January 19, 1997, Yasser Arafat returned to Hebron. Tens of thousands of Palestinians welcomed him as a hero, and the entire city of Hebron was decorated with Palestinian flags and photos of Yasser Arafat as leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization. So that was today in history.
Duduk menikmati sinaran hangat mentari sore ini. Aku berdiam diri. Derasnya kehidupan, letih persahabatan, sejenak hilang pergi jauh dalam sang waktu membawa ku ke hari pertama saat mimpi. Masih terasa ku ingat detik itu, kisah rumahku dan rumahmu, cerita yang pilu. Saat terluka terkecap mimpiku dan mimpimu, sang waktu membawa ku ke hari pertama saat mimpi. Seperti pertama, pertama, pertama. Lagi ku bawa mimpi kita.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia is committed to fulfilling the 17 targets of the Sustainable Development Goals SDG 2030 and has succeeded in achieving significant progress. In this regard, Indonesia rejects discriminatory treatment related to the issue of sustainability of Indonesian palm oil products amid Indonesia's efforts to raise stricter standards. This was affirmed by Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Mahendra Siregar, at an online seminar with the theme, Sustainable Vegetables Oil, opportunities for increased two-way trade on Thursday. As quoted on the kemlu.co.id page, in the event, Deputy Minister Mahendra Sirigar said, Indonesia emphasized that efforts to achieve SDGs targets require close collaboration with some countries. In this regard, the government of Indonesia is ready to share dialogue with all partners, both at the regional and global levels. This webinar activity was organized by the Indonesian Embassy in Stockholm in a bid to encourage discussions on the topic of sustainable vegetables oil and the background of the agreement between the member states of the European Union and ASEAN to improve relations from a dialogue partnership to a strategic partnership, as well as the formation of a joint working group on vegetables oil at the 23rd European Union-ASEAN ministerial meeting to be held on December 1, 2020. In his opening, Indonesian Ambassador to Stockholm, Kama Pradipta Isnomo, called for all stakeholders in Indonesia and the people of the European Union and ASEAN to take advantage of the momentum in early 2021 by welcoming the launch of the joint working group towards increasing the two-way trade in vegetables oil. He said that the commitment of the two parties to form a joint working group indicates a common vision to solve environmental challenges and issues in the vegetables oil sector from a more objective and non-discriminatory perspective. The seminar was attended by two expert panelists in the field of sustainability and vegetables oil based in Sweden, namely Francis X. Johnson, PhD, senior researchers from Stockholm Environment Institute, and Fumi Harahap, PhD, postdoctoral researchers from the KTH Royal Institute of Technology. In the presentation and discussion, the points explain where the stages of economic transition to bioeconomics, the market share of oil plant use, the potential for energy produced from agricultural crops residues, and opportunities for biorefinery development to capture the full potential of vegetable resources. Representing the Swedish government and acting as event moderator was Paul Westin from the Swedish Energy Agency. Palm oil and its derivatives are one of Indonesia's leading commodities exported to Sweden. Over the last 3 years, the import value of Swedish palm oil from Indonesia has continued to increase, from $14.5 million in 2017 to $32.3 million in 2019. Amid the COVID-19 pandemic and efforts to accelerate national economic recovery, trade vegetables oil, especially palm oil export abroad, are becoming increasingly important to the government and the people of Indonesia. That was my Indonesia.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zheng que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni. 你的口罩保护我
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forco, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19. En portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des Covid-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Para, para.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Hello listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, I'm Rahma. I'm going to introduce you to a special food from Bali, namely bubur mengguh or mengguh rice porridge. Bali is not only rich in cultural tourism and natural tourism, but also rich in mouth-watering culinary tour. When you go to Bali, one of the Balinese specialties that you must taste is mengguh rice porridge. It is a typical porridge from Teja Kula village, Buleleng, North Bali. Usually, this special food is served in a traditional ceremony, but now people can eat it every day. Mengguh rice porridge, or also known as mengguh or mungguh rice porridge, is made from rice, bay leaves, thick coconut milk, chicken breast, vegetables, and fried peanuts. Apart from these ingredients, the spices that must be refined are garlic and shallots, red chilies, roasted turmeric, candle nut, pepper, coriander, and salt. The spices are refined and used as a flavoring for this porridge. Then the porridge is served with spiced shredded chicken, then doused with thick chicken sauce and urap, which are served separately. This Balinese rice porridge has a different characteristic from other porridge, namely urap. Urap is an Indonesian salad dish of raw vegetables mixed with grated coconut and flavor from its special spices. Urap consists of half-old grated coconut, long bean, garlic, red chili, terasi or shrimp paste, kencur or aromatic ginger, brown sugar, and lime leaves. Listener, when you eat mengguh rice porridge, it gives you a complete flavor. There is a combination of savory and slightly spicy flavors combined with the crunchiness of the urap vegetables. Usually, Balinese people eat this porridge in the morning for breakfast. This porridge is also very suitable in a cold weather. You can find mengguh rice porridge in almost every city corner of Bali. The price is relatively affordable, around 10,000 rupiah to 15,000 rupiah per serving. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, our voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chaku yo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege y tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Terima kasih.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Today's topic is poster apa itu? Or in English, what poster is that? Next, I will give an example of a conversation on poster apa itu. Poster apa itu, which means what poster is that? Kevin saw a poster of one of the legislative candidates on a taxi passing by.
Rama, poster apa itu?
Yang mana?
Itu yang besar.
Oh, itu poster salah satu calon anggota legislatif.
Memangnya kapan pemilihan akan dilakukan?
Mungkin sebulan lagi.
Apakah kamu akan ikut memberikan suara?
Tentu saja, Kevin.
Pada usia berapa kita boleh ikut memberikan suara?
Usia 17 tahun.
Usiamu sekarang 20 tahun. Berarti benar, kamu harus ikut memberikan suara.
Dari mana kamu tahu umurku 20 tahun?
Itu aku tahu, kamu kan seusia aku.
Iya, benar juga kamu, Kevin.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely, poster apa itu, which means, what poster is that? I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Poster apa itu, which means, what poster is that? Poster salah seorang calon anggota legislatif. Poster salah seorang calon anggota legislatif. Which means, poster of a candidate for legislative member. Kapan pemilihan akan dilakukan? Kapan pemilihan akan dilakukan? Which means, when will the election be held? Sebulan lagi. Sebulan lagi. Which means, in a month. Apakah kamu akan ikut memberikan suara? Apakah kamu akan ikut memberikan suara? Which means, are you going to vote? Tentu saja. Tentu saja. Which means, of course. Pada usia berapa kita boleh memberikan suara? Pada usia berapa kita boleh memberikan suara? Which means, at what age we can vote? Usia 17 tahun. Usia 17 tahun. Usia 17 tahun. Usia 17 tahun. Which means, age 17. Usiamu sekarang sudah 20 tahun. Usiamu sekarang sudah 20 tahun, which means you are 20 years old now. Tentu aku tahu. Tentu aku tahu. Which means of course I know. Kamu seusia aku. Kamu seusia aku, which means you're my age. Tubuh Kevin setinggi Rio. Tubuh Kevin setinggi Rio, which means Kevin is as tall as Rio. Tulisan tangan Rani sebagus Dina. Tulisan tangan Rani sebagus Dina, which means Rani's handwriting is as good as Dina. Sama cantik. Sama cantik, which means just as beautiful. Rambut Ana sama lurus dengan Yani. Rambut Ana sama lurus dengan Yani, which means Ana's hair is as straight as Yani's. In the dialogue, there is an expression, kamu kan seusia aku. Kamu kan seusia aku, which means you are my age. The affix se before the word usia indicates the equivalent ratio or the same degree between two objects. The word seusia, seusia, which means of the same age, shows that the ages of Rama and Andi are the same. Equivalent comparison in the form of the affix se is usually followed by an adjective, Example, tubuh Kevin setinggi Rio. Tubuh Kevin setinggi Rio, which means Kevin is as tall as Rio. Tulisan tangan Rani sebagus Dina. Tulisan tangan Rani sebagus Dina, which means Rani's handwriting is good as Dina's. Apart from the affix sir, which is followed by an adjective, there are also other forms of equative comparisons to express the degree to which two things or two persons are equal. It is sama dengan. Sama dengan, which means as. Example, Dewi sama cantik dengan Maya. Dewi sama cantik dengan Maya, which means Dewi as beautiful as Maya. Rambut Ana sama lurus dengan Yani. Rambut Ana sama lurus dengan Yani, which means Ana's hair is as straight as Yani's. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, let's speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the sample conversation one more time.
Rama, poster apa itu?
Yang mana?
Itu yang besar.
Oh, itu poster salah satu calon anggota legislatif.
Memangnya kapan pemilihan akan dilakukan?
Mungkin sebulan lagi.
Apakah kamu akan ikut memberikan suara?
Tentu saja, Kevin.
Pada usia berapa kita boleh ikut memberikan suara?
Usia 17 tahun.
Usiamu sekarang 20 tahun. Berarti benar, kamu harus ikut memberikan suara.
Dari mana kamu tahu umurku 20 tahun?
Itu aku tahu, kamu kan seusiaku.
Iya, benar juga kamu, Kevin.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian. I'm Nuka Kusumati. Thank you for listening.
Selalu berharap.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a Malay song entitled Selat Melaka by Tia Ramon and Asmidar Darwis. Composed by P. Ramlee, the song tells about advice for living life. One of them is by getting closer to God. The lyrics of this song consist of four rhyming verses of pantun or rhyming poetry. The first verse of the pantun tells about the Strait of Malacca. That's why the song is titled Selat Melaka. In the lyrics, the Strait of Malacca is said to have calm water and a place where Bugis boats are anchored. Every lyric was sung alternately by Asmidar Darwis and Tia Ramon. The music itself is in moderate tempo. Well, listener, here is the song Selat Melaka by Tia Ramon and Asmidar Darwis. Enjoy!
Tempat berlabuh perahu Bugis, Selat Melaka airnya tenang. Tempat berlabuh perahu Bugis. Sangka hidupku senang, mulut tertawa, hati menangis.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.